So Joyce, you ready to start? Sir John, since then, Pastor, hello? I was asking you to start. A few minutes ago, I asked you to start. Maybe you were distracted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Go right
All
ahead.
Right, let's just pray. Father, we thank you. Hello? We bless your name, Lord. We thank you for giving us another privilege to minister to each other. We thank you, Father God, for the way you have provided material, for the way, oh God, you have given us the advantage, oh God, to study your word and to know, God, the plans that you have for us and the times and the season that you have given us, oh God, with a mandate to carry out your work and your doing. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be co-laborers with you, Father. Thank you so much for every sister, every person participating or joining in the meeting this evening. May you continue to give enlightenment to our hearts and to our minds as we go through the study. Let your name be exalted in our lives. We thank you, great God, because you are so awesome, Dad. Just commit this meeting to you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us as we go through the study, in Jesus' name. I just want to apologize for Tuesday, for not being able to be in the meeting until the end. It just had to do with the phone. But we have overcome. At least the session had finished. So I give God thanks. And I just want to welcome every one of you who came out this evening. I want to let you know that you are blessed. I just want to encourage you to just continue to stay in his wonderful love and presence. This evening we have questions and answers. And so those who will be answering will just unmute and then we will go through. And this is good because especially the fact that we have to give evaluation concern of the things that we have been taught for the past times from the mandate. So it's good to have little questions to go through. All right? Welcome again, everyone, and God bless you so much. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are reminded that the mandate is given to us according to God's pattern for specific purpose and within specified period of time. Every mandate has a timeline for execution. The Lord has graciously done what? What has he graciously done? Worldwide, fill in the blanks. Who have he raised up as watchmen? Actually, almost. All right. So we want to start with our first question. Who has God raised up in this hour, in this 11th hour and season, to be his faithful watchmen? Anybody?
The Wailing Women.
Wailing women. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. And then I want you to give me at least three of the things that, well, somebody else can answer, that he has given us to do as watchmen, as faithful watchmen or wailing women. There have been quite a few that we have looked at on Tuesday.
They're to pray for the family and the church, secure the gates of our nation,
That was the second question. Somebody ready to answer?
To pray for the family and the church and to secure the gates of our nations.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Are you giving me answer?
I was given the answer, but somehow it's like it's interference. Like it's dropping out because I can't hear you clearly. And it seems as though you can't hear me clearly.
Okay, I'm hearing you clearly now.
Right. You said...
I'm here.
Right. To pray for the family and to the church and to... pray, okay. I can't remember the next thing you said about the gates, to take over the gates to our nation. We must try and be.
Okay, we have not reached to the gates yet. The first part of the study when we were given the following things that the Spirit of God lead us to do as the team of willing women. Who starts with W?
Pardon me?
Weep, wail, and mourn. To right. Bring others into repentance.
Okay.
Right. Very
from
good.
That part. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we are also... we are also given... what is... the mandate to deal with, to throw down, fill in the blank, the spirit of
Jezebel.
And remove the, yeah, very good. Remove the, to pull on, throw down the spirit of Jezebel from over the nation. Okay, we are also asked specifically to pray for the peace of a particular nation. I know this is milk. Very easy.
The peace of Jerusalem.
The peace of Jerusalem.
Every right? Nation.
Yeah, but specifically we are asked to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yeah. And now we come to the part that you all ended with. You can give me the scripture that talk about the bridegroom and the bride.
Matthew 25.
Yes, very good. In Matthew 25 from verse 6 to 13, we are asked that we dress the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is who?
The church.
Very good. The church. So we dress her and spice her for what? Preparing her for what?
For the coming of Christ.
The bridegroom.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
The marriage feast.
We are. So in every part of the world, we are raised to trim our lamps, to have our oil burning. And you remember, I want you to just give me, well, this is too easy for you.
Okay. There are some things that was spoken of in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Remember, one of the sisters read it and expounded on it.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't know.
The scripture that was given in 2 Timothy. One of the sisters expounded on it. Remember? 2 Timothy chapter 4.
We rebuke and judge the wicked.
Mm-hmm. And there was something else she was responding on concerning the preaching of the word.
He admonished and preached the word in season and out of season, to reprove, yeah, to rebuke, to exhort.
Right. So what was the emphasis? What was the emphasis there?
To rebuke and judge the wicked in high places.
Exhort with long suffering.
Right, but I was also referring to what the sister was saying about preaching the word, the importance of preaching the word in season and out of season. She brought about some points concerning that. You remember?
In preaching, because time will come, this end time, where people will not endure sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You have to convince them.
Yeah, but I remember clearly it was said that sometimes we look for a particular season to preach the word. But we were told to do it at all times. You know? In season, out of season. And some emphasis was made because, you know, in the world, they don't look for season. They do whatever they want at all times. And we sometimes shy away and don't take every opportunity. Whereas it is so urgent for us to minister to people every time we get the opportunity, because you may not have that time or that opportunity again. It may not pass our way. So that's why we grab the opportunity every time we get it. Okay, so we rebuke sin and judge wickedness in high places. And also remember the scripture that tells us we are going to execute judgment. Anybody remember that scripture?
I think it's in Psalms 149.
Psalms 149?
149. 6 to 9.
You want to read it? Want to read it? We are just being reminded of some of the things that we are given
Psalms 149, verses 6 to 9.
Yeah.
Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fatness of iron, to execute unto them the judgment written. This honor has all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. I read from the King James Version.
Right. So we are seen where we are called as wailing women to arise as faithful watchmen to do the things that God requires of us. And not only are we just looking at this, you know, just for studying sake, but we want to actually motivate ourselves because we see both the importance and urgency of being faithful watchmen in this season. You know, there is not just the importance of it, but the urgency of it. Because if we don't stand in the gap, you know what is happening. You know what this world, the trend, everything is taking. But God have called us and have chosen us to be part of this mighty end time work. Right? So we covered where he have called us to preach repentance from sin, to call men to this new life in Christ, and the things that we have to do to throw down the spirit of Jezebel, and also to tear down the altars and thrones of Satan in every nation. And you know the Lord have called us as Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:10 when he called him to root and throw down. Okay, so the other thing we looked at is the importance of being ready as the bride of Christ. So we had the example of the 10 virgins. Yeah. You want to, somebody want to emphasize on this a bit?
We talk about the 10 virgins, the 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And we said that they did not, the foolish did not have enough oil in their lamp.
It also tells us that they were not prepared. Yeah. For the coming, and we really have to be prepared because, you know, we know that he is coming. So there was 5 that just was not prepared at the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you are prepared for something, you have great expectation, mm-hmm, and excitement. Mm-hmm. You don't carelessly sleep in the sense of forgetting what or being alert of what you are expecting or waiting for. You know, even if you rest, but you have this alertness because you have that great expectation, that excitement, right, of that event, what is going to happen. And so even if the Lord did not give us the day or the hour, but yet he expects us to be all trimmed up and excited about his coming. You know, it doesn't matter how long it takes or how soon it is. Because I remember in Peter, he said his coming is to those that look for him. So this was a bit of carelessness, not having the lamps trimmed and the oil burning. Because they had to sound the alarm, right? That the bridegroom is coming for his beloved bride. So we also have to be in that, you know, I mean, it's given unto us to be those virgins that are on the alert. Anybody else have something to say on that? I just wanted to know what you might have in your heart from Tuesday. So, because it's more like a revision we are doing this evening.
Sister Joan, as you were sharing about the fact that we needed to be in a state of expectancy and excitement, I just think about us, at least here in the Bahamas, when you are a bridesmaid, there are months of planning goes into it. There is excitement. Right. There are parties to prepare. You know, there's uniformity in dress and mm-hmm. the accessories. And so it's the same kind of thing, because the word here is saying that we are the bridesmaids. And so I believe it will be that, it should be that same kind of excitement, probably even more so, because this isn't any ordinary groom, and this isn't any ordinary bride. And so I think if we can probably use our imaginations to begin to imagine what this wonderful event is going to be like, we would be stirred up a bit more.
Right.
That's my two cents.
Right. Right. This is such a great example. And this is so true, because when you look at a bride expecting to be with that bridegroom, you know, they take pride in preparing. They start looking at what color they would like and how they would like the place to be decorated, and, you know, the excitement in that. And, you know, that is why in one of the passage, when we're talking about the bride, the body of Christ, we talk about anointing the body of Christ through our prayers for greater exploits, like the wise and discerning Mary of Bethany, the woman with the alabaster box of ointment, right? And wailing women worldwide have a mandate to anoint the body of Christ on earth with sweet odors and fresh oil. We can do this by deliberately refusing to, and then they give us some examples, to speak evil of ministers, by encouraging the weak, by interceding, praying for those who are under attack, and by loving the brethren, praying for the unity of the church. You know, it's like you're grooving the bride. You know, the bride is the church. So we do everything in our power to make sure that this bride is looking good, you know. So we refuse to allow, you know, the things that the enemy brings to try to distract us, like, you know, things like I just thinking of that scripture in Ephesians and in Galatians that talk about the works of the flesh, those things that are manifested. You know, it brings a ugly odor. But what brings that sweet odor into the body of Christ is when we reject the works of the flesh, like the gossip, the backbitings, the malice, the strife, the contentions, talking evil of ministers. But instead we pray and seek God to give strength to the weak, to encourage, to discourage, to love the unlovable, you know, just to put oil. These are oil. This is fresh oil upon the body. Just like the example was given as Mary anointed Christ. You know, his body, that's why the Bible says, when we take the communion, remembering what Jesus did on the cross, is discerning the body of Christ, you know. And he said, some take it unworthily, not discerning the body, not understanding that, you know, who is the body of Christ? It is us. We come to love, to encourage, to strengthen, not to tear apart, not to look down on others, not to, you know, discourage, but to encourage, to be that encouragement, that support. So you actually groove in the body for the coming of Christ. You're spicing it, like the writer said. Right? So yes, I love that example that you brought concerning a bride when she's getting ready to meet her groom. I don't know if anybody else have anything on their heart before we go to the other part. Anybody wanted to add anything to this beautiful part of the study?
I look at it from the financial part of it, of getting ready
for a wedding. So many brides and their family put so much money into the wedding and the preparation and the wedding. And I look at it from the body of Christ. God is expecting us to also use our resources to help prepare the body for his coming. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's it? You?
Yeah, when I said use our money to prepare, sometimes you were speaking about how we are to encourage the weak and stuff like that. Sometimes, well, the word of God said in Malachi, talking about us bringing our tithes and our offering into the storehouse that there may be meat in the house. So we can use our resources to bring into the house of God, or we can minister to people with our resources. I think, I don't remember the scripture directly to talk about. You tell your brother or to go in peace and all of that, but did not bless him. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the scripture directly to quote it directly. But in essence, the scripture is saying your brother come to you and but you tell him, I pray for you and you go in peace, without meeting that need of that brother when you could have met that need of that brother. So sometimes we, in taking our tithes and offering to the church and special offering, sometimes I know at my church, sometimes we have a separate offering because there is a need, whether it be for when there's hurricanes, we take up a second offering to help those people that home got damaged and stuff like that with the hurricane. So it's not your normal 10% or your normal offering you'll throw in the pan. So sometimes it asks of us to put in a little bit extra because of a need in the body of Christ. So like I said, just how I see it as a parent or a bridesmaid, putting all that money into looking good and see that everything is in place for the bridegroom and the wedding and the guests. I see using our resources to mm-hmm. help prepare and put everything in place and to look good for the guests who will be hosting for the preparation of Christ's return.
Right, I got it. So very good. Yeah, so you see how you can use the natural to compare the spiritual? It is, when you're able to discern the body of Christ, first of all, you understand how important the church is to the groom, the bridegroom. I mean... It's not even like when Jacob had to work 7 years for Rachel. It's further than that. The man actually gave his life. He actually gave his life. I mean, working 7 years was hard work, but not the kind of pain that the Lord went through, both in spirit and in body. Right? He really paid a price for this bride. This bride is very important to him. That is why in Romans 14, I think he said, you know, we should not like stumble someone that for whom he gave his life for. And he was talking about those that have faith to eat certain thing and those who do not have faith to eat certain thing. And so he was saying, you know, if they're not eating that, don't make it an issue. I just paraphrased him like you said. Because this is a soul for whom he died. He gave his life for the bride. And so, as one person said, if you cannot be an encouragement, don't be a discouragement by the grace of God. So he gave us a few things that is expected of us, right? We saw already how we are to rebuke sin and
judge wickedness in high places, like we saw in Psalms, and also in Romans 8:19, where we release the whole of creation from bondage and reorder all things in creation to conform to the pattern or the patterns of things in heaven. You know, even when he prayed that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is our desire. This is our passion. This is what we are trusting him to be faithful in doing as watchmen, right? To release creation from bondage, to see that things are reordered according to his will, according to the pattern that he wants. Because, you know, God always gives his pattern of things. And that's why he said, let his will be done as it is in heaven, right? To give renewed hope to discouraged ministers and God's servants everywhere. That's another thing we cannot take for granted. We are called to stand in the gap for ministers. I remember in one of the sessions we were doing during the conference from Nigeria. I don't know if some of you were there at the time when the brother was giving doing his session, and he was talking about the time when he went to a certain place that people never heard the gospel. And it was very dangerous going in that place. And I thought to myself, maybe we cannot, some of us will never be able to go in a place like that. But at least we can pray for them. We can intercede for them. We can trust God for their safety, for their provision, you know, and just believe God for, and if possible, you know, give in whatever way, as you said, concerning even the mission, those that go out as missionaries. So all this is part of grooming the bride. Right? Giving renewed hope to discouraged ministers and God's servants everywhere. We are called to pray and uphold all true ministers of the gospel and speak strength to them. We have a mandate to encourage the hearts of discouraged ministers all over the world and speak life to their fainting and strength to their fainting hearts. We must declare to them that because Christ is risen, no challenge can bury them in the grave of sorrow and defeat. And you know, as I was saying Tuesday, sometimes as ministers, people might take us for granted and feel, you know, because we give so much that we are so strong. But no, we need strength. We need your encouragement. We need the prayer. The ministers that are out there is like those people that are working on the front line in the hospital and even in the ministry, you know, as you give out, you need that strength. And so as wailing women, we stand in the gap for them, the ministers of the gospel, and encourage and strengthen them. We follow Christ, Jesus, the captain of our salvation, faithfully to ensure that we enter into the rest prepared for us as faithful workers. Right, this is another thing that the Lord have asked us to do in Hebrews, to enter into his rest. And we read some of it, but maybe I could just quickly read Hebrews 4:8-11, just a few scriptures there. It says, no. It says, and I'm going to just add verse 1 to it, right? It says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear, in case any of you may seem to come short of reaching it or think he has come too late, right? For indeed, we have had the good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. The King James will have a different reading. It means the same, right? So the same gospel that have been preached to us have been preached to them. But the word of God is saying in verse 3, for we who believe that, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God, enter that rest. So we have his inner peace. Now, because we are confident in our salvation and assured of his power, just as he has said, right? So what he's saying that he wants us to enter into that rest, into that confidence that he's in control. You know, the children of Israel had that problem. They did not fully believe God when he gave them the promise. But God is asking us, you know, to take them as our example. That this mention in verse 8 of a rest was not a reference of the entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak about another day of opportunity after that. Right? So what God is saying that he wants us to enter into that confidence. You know, that confidence gives you rest. Being assured that God is able. He's able to do what he says, his promise. And I don't know if somebody wants to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Last week we read it, where the Apostle Paul was. I don't want to give it to you. Just read it.
It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Right. So you see the confidence in which the apostle was speaking, because he confidently knew that Father was in control of everything. And so even when he was leaving Ephesus, when he was with the brethren, and in Acts, I think it's in Acts chapter 19 or 20, when he was telling them that everywhere he go, they was telling him affliction await him when he was going down to, excuse me. So he was saying that all these things, they were prophesying and telling him what was awaiting him, you know. I think it was when he was on his way to Jerusalem. And he said, none of these things move me. Neither count my life dear to myself, but that he may finish his course and the ministry that was given to him. That was his goal. That was his aim. That was his passion. It wasn't so much about the suffering that he had to go through and the pain. You know, one of the prophets tied his loins and tell him all that he was going to go through. He said this thing didn't move him. That's why even in Corinthians, when he was saying all the different things he was going through, he called it light afflictions. Although he was pressured on every side, cast into prison, and all the things that he was going through did not move him. That's why he could have sung in the jail and worshiped God even when his feet were in chains, and wrote to the brethren telling them rejoice evermore, to the Philippians and even to the Thessalonians, you know, letting them know, man. In Philippians, he said to them, the God who began that work in you is able to continue it, to perform it to the end. He was so much at rest. He had such confidence that God was doing it, right? And you know what he said to the Thessalonians? He was saying to them, the thing that brought joy to him in his suffering and in his pain is that they were practicing what he gave them. You know, they were moving with the word that he gave them. It brought joy to him when Timothy and the others could come and tell him how they were moving in that love and that faith. Even the Colossians, he said, man, when he heard of their faith and their love, it caused him to pray to bring them to another level. He said, when I heard in Colossians 1, he said, when I heard of your faith and your love, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. He prayed that God will take them to another level, that they will know what is the hope of their calling. And he also was praying that they would also know, they will increase in the knowledge of God. He wanted an increase for them. He wanted another level for them because they were moving with what he gave them. So even though he was going through all the pains and the suffering in prison and all these trials and testing, he rejoiced to know that they were moving with the word that he gave them. And so at the end of the day, he was able to say, you know what? I have fought a good fight. Saints of God, these are to bless us and encourage us as wailing women, as watchmen, you know, that we don't allow the work of God to become a burden or burdensome or a stress, but that by the grace of God, in spite of what we are faced with, we can rest in our heart, we can enter into that confidence, into that assurance that God is going to work things out. It is well. And so this is one of the things that encourages me a lot. You know, as women that are called to stand in the gap, there will be times of hardship, but we can look back at the children of Israel and make them our examples. Right? So we followed the Lord, the captain of our salvation, faithfully to ensure that we enter into the rest prepared for us as faithful workers. Emulate the example of the company of women who worked with Jesus and his disciples as they ministered. They had courage because they saw how much blows he got. They saw all the things that he went through, but they stood by him. These women were loyal to him. They stood by Jesus from the moment of his trial to Golgotha, where he was crucified, and saw where he was buried. We ought to spice, as I said earlier, the body of Christ with sweet fragrances to heal the petrifying sores caused by strife, hatred, anger, unforgiveness in the church. You know, that is why the wailing women is a special called out people. That's why we say the churches, yes, they have intercessors, yes, they have, you know, all different groups, but God have called out wailing women for specific errand, and that is part of it is just what we are hearing, to really help the church, right, to help to heal the things that, you know, church people go through. Sometimes there's so much hurts, so much, you know, different situation. But because wailing women know how to pray and stand in the gap and understand their mandate, understand their call, they can come alongside people that are hurting, people that are discouraged. They can come alongside them because they know what it is to deny self. They know what it is to crucify the old self and reach out to others. We anoint the body of Christ through our prayers for greater exploits. As we said it already, like the example with Mary, right? We also raise worldwide army of gatekeepers who can monitor and regulate the health of nations. So not only are we called to take care of the church or to spice the church or bring healing to those that are hurting in the church, but we are also, and to stand in the gap in prayer for the church, but we are also called with the vision for the nation. So that's why we are called watchmen. To raise the tabernacle of David, the altar of praise, And this is something that we don't even need to be reminded of, because we know the man was a man of praise, right? And so one of the reasons we are called to do the things that we studied about again, it's because we are getting the bride ready. We are preparing earth to receive her king. And we saw in Revelation 3, as we continue to intercede for the nations, we must join the elders and worship the Lord who lives forever and ever. And this is something that you can add to your evaluation, because we did, why do we crown him? Why is it that he's crowned as king? So we did all that, because Revelation tells us, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and praise, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Okay, I'm going to stop there and let you tell me what is on your heart from all what is said, because I realize I've been going at a pace. So remember, we said today is actually reviewing what you have already studied. So just randomly tell me how you feel about everything. Just talk about it. How you feel about being one of the faithful watchmen.
Good night, Pastor Joan.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, I good night, everyone. Being a newcomer with Wailing Women, I must say that I'm just soaking up all this information, because it's not that I have studied this realm of topic for years or even months. Okay. In fact, I didn't really start studying that until I mean, maybe even up to a few months ago when you first mentioned it. And so I cannot say that I have been taught about the importance of having watchmen and having these skillful women be called to lament for what's going on. Well, if we were to make this, relate this to our time of what's going on in the world today. Now, what I did in my study was I wanted to know what was the importance of Wailing Women in the ancient times. You know, why were they called to begin with? And through my studies, I've read that originally they were called to like funerals, and in the ancient times they were called to funerals to mourn, and I believe it says in scriptures, so that we may, one second, let me pull it up. There's a part in the scripture that refers to, one second. Okay, in Jeremiah, okay, where it says, this is what, verse 17, this is what the Lord Almighty says, consider now calling for the wailing women to come, send for the most skillful of them, let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears. And so it's my understanding that wailing women, they were called to lament, not only for themselves, but on the behalf of others. And but then also just the mere fact of seeing these women, the community members and other people, like there was a rise, you know, that was within them. They began to weep as well, almost like they needed these women in order to see their practice and see their lament, in order for it to, I guess, for the lack of better description, for them to receive it also, for them to lament as well. So what I'm saying is that from the short time, and this is my second session with you all, thank you, is that it appears to me that for us to be called to lament on behalf of the world and on behalf of our nation and our communities. This for me is being a newcomer. That's a tall order. Like that, you kept referring to a mandate. Like this, this is a big deal, right? And for me, I just, you know, I wanted to share that there's a few things that are just on my heart about this. Are we lamenting? Are we crying out on behalf of ourselves and our community so that God can hear us? Is there us? What are the spiritual ramifications of our cries, of our tears, of our lamenting? Is it to move heaven? You know, what is I'm not going to say what the importance is, because I understand. I mean, it looks like in verse 18 where, you know, let them come quickly and wail over us until our eyes overflow with tears. That tells me, or that what that says to me is that, you know, people were affected by these women when they, you know, if I see you cry, Pastor Joan, I'm fixing to cry too. Okay. Because that effect, you have that effect on me. Right. So what I'm saying, what I'm asking actually is, in our day for the mandate of the wailing women, is this so that God can hear our cries and be moved?
Yep. You said it.
Okay. And then there's another question I had. So if that's the case, for God to hear our cries and for us to be moved, now I understand the importance of, I think there was, where did I see that? The importance of repentance, like it's interchangeable in terms of what does a wailing woman look like? When I read this call, send for the most skillful of them. Who are the most skillful? That's what I want to know. And y'all have to forgive me because I really want to know this, you know, because this is all so new to me and I find it very powerful. And I'm checking, why am I just now really, you know, because I never had this study. I really didn't. I've never had a group Bible study that spoke on this. I never sat within a group of women that spoke about this. I just didn't have that study, right? And so I'm just curious.
Okay.
As far as
first of all, I want you to forgive me for not already introducing you to the Wailing Women. I just wanted the right time to do it, and we have a meeting on Saturday night, and so I just was waiting to talk to Reverend Truth and then to the group, so that we can all welcome you to Wailing Women. And I just didn't do it as yet. Sorry, but you are going to get the materials, and it's just, as I said, we're going to have to change our time to be able to accommodate you for you not being able to come on the night.
Yes.
However, you're on the right track, and you will learn as we give you some of the materials that tell us about more information about wailing women. So we just, But even now, we can welcome Tanya to Wailing Women.
Hey, y'all. Thank y'all. No, but I just wanted to share. Thank you, Pastor Joan. I appreciate that. I just really wanted to share with you all that while I'm, you know, playing catch up, quite a bit of catch up, I'm really, I feel honored to be a part of a group with you all, with you ladies, and fellowshipping, and just, you know, I guess I'm a bit of a sponge right now where I'm soaking all of this up, but I can assure you that, you know, I'm really on one accord with you all indeed about this, and about just following a mandate and following really doing exactly what we've been talking about how we are to stand in the gap for our communities, for the world, for a number of things, especially what's going on in different territories. And so I just wanted to share that, Pastor Joan, you opened up the floor, and I just really wanted to share what was on my heart about that.
We appreciate that very much. We appreciate that very, very much. Thank you so much. And you will get more information. And I thank God for your heart, and I thank God for you. Okay, anybody else? Just share what is on your heart. You know, we're just reviewing the chapter that we did on Tuesday, and we're just randomly reviewing it. So just reminding ourselves of who we are called to be as faithful watchmen and the responsibilities given to us by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you feel, being a part of this call, Tanya, and every other sister or willing women on this call. I really thank God for each and every one of you that have answered the call and have given yourself to the Lord to be his watchman. I really thank God for every one of you. And I want to tell you that, you know, the Lord is the strength of your life. I know there are a lot of other responsibilities that we have been given, especially as wives and mothers. But as we saw in the operational handbook, that the Lord has listed us to them, you know, like when you list a piece of land to somebody. But our main occupation, our main profession is kingdom business. And we are happy that the Lord have graced us with such a privilege to be co-worker with him. And we are really grateful to him for that privilege. So I just want to thank God for each and every one of you. So feel free to share your heart. And I'm just going to close off the rest of the study when you are through. So just, it's like nothing much remaining anyway. And so you feel free to just say what is on your heart. If there is anything that you're not clear about, anything you don't quite understand, or you want to, or if you have something that you saw and it ministered to you, feel free.
Pastor Jones, I would like to say that before I came in Wailing Women, you know, I never, the facilitators are just so good, you know. They are very serious about God's work. And the way they express, the way they teach, it gives you a feeling of wanting to do God work. That you're so glad that God chose you. This is no time to play. They tell you that it lets us know that time is of the essence. We cannot waste time because you know. The labor is so much. The laborers are few, and there's so much work to be done. And the facilitators that you know off the top, this is no time to play. We're here to do God's work. They teach you. You know, we go into scriptures. We allow to express ourselves. If we don't know something, they go back. They look for it. They come back, and they teach us. So, for me, it is a privilege to be a part of Wailing Women. It just, you know, to be, it's like you are a part of something great, you know, but God to choose you to be a part of this particular group, you know, you must be the apple of his eyes to say, hey, I want you to do this for me. So it is a privilege to do his work, to wail on his behalf, to bring people into his kingdom, to go out and to pray for others, you know, and to know that he has you all the way, that he's with you, and he's giving you this job because he knows that you can do it. So for me personally, just to push, it is a pleasure to get up any hour that he calls me to go on the wall. With no if and but or maybe. It doesn't matter what it looked like, sound like. When he say jump, you ask how high. And you know, that is the kind of feeling that this group, you know, and because of all the facilitators and the last conference that we had the other day, it just shows us that, listen here,
we are a special set of people that God called to do his work. So, you know, we have to be like the five bridesmaids who that were ready. You understand? Because he's equipping us to be ready. So for me, it is a pleasure to be a part of this group.
Wow. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's God's pleasure to have you. Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Joan, I wanted to, if you could have just reiterated what you shared about raising the worldwide army of gatekeepers. If you can just go over that for me again, please. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so turn to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Right, and we read from verse 6 to 7. So it says, before we go into the scripture, it says to raise a worldwide army of gatekeepers who can monitor and regulate the health of nations. And Isaiah 62 said, on your walls, O Jerusalem. And remember I said when we were reading that, you say you put your nation, yeah? You call the name of your nation. So if I have to say Dominica, I would say, on your walls, O Dominica, I have appointed and stationed, the Lord is saying that, I have appointed and stationed watchmen, right? Like prophets, who will never keep silent day or night. You who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest from your prayers until he establishes your island or your country, your nation, and make her a praise on the earth. Yeah? Because the Lord is actually giving us this privilege to be watchmen on our walls. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're stationed there. That's what you do. Like, for example, we have a prayer meeting, an ongoing prayer meeting, a team of us from 5 to 6 in the morning. Well, yes, 2 weeks ago, we had We the Willing Women in Casibus. We had from midnight, we had seven nights of midnight. I had to actually leave my home by 11:30 minutes to 12 to drive up to meet the other ladies. Sometimes we were outside or sometimes we were inside somebody's house. But we did some serious warfare because, you know, we cannot take things for granted and God is counting on us. So he raised us to be on the walls of our nation, right? To station like watchmen. And hear what he said, who will never keep silent day or night. He said, you who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourself and give him no rest from your prayers until he establishes your nation and make it a praise unto him. For example, I was saying today, I was telling the enemy today, you think you are the boss and you rule things, but our God is bigger than you. He's mightier and we will give him no rest. He will work for us. You understand? But we are the ones that have to cooperate with Father God. Because remember, he put us in the earth to rule and to take dominion. But he expects us to work with him. That's why the apostle said we are workers together with him. So that's why we have to be in that attitude of prayer, communion, communication with him on the behalf of whatever it is, whether it's the family, whether it's the children, whether it's the community, whether it's the nation. We are coming to an agreement. Remember in Amos 3:3, he said, how can two work together except there be an agreement? So we come into an agreement with Father on the behalf of where he has placed us to replenish and establish his will. Remember the Bible said that the earth groaned to see the manifestation of the sons of God. So yes, we have to stand in a gap. I think God has really raised this 11th hour army to show forth his glory, to cooperate with him, to see things done in the nation. And we have the womb that can do that, you know, the womb that can carry that passion, that heart. Yes. And cry out for the nation, cry out for the will of God to be done. So these are the watchmen that God is, you know, has raised and stationed in the nations. I don't know if that answers your...
Yes, yes, ma'am. That was a very, very excellent elaboration. And I think with the reading, it helped me to understand it a little better, because in the Amplified, behind watchmen, they have prophets, and we know that right. is what God is using the prophets and the apostles in this time, in terms of, right. of being the ones in the forefront. And so, yes, I thank you for that very much. And I would just like to say that really it is an honor. And I guess for me, the part of the excitement is the fact that we are actually living in a time to experience the prophetic words coming to pass, and that alone should cause us to be so excited that we are actually here in this day and this time and seeing so many of the prophetic words being manifested during our lifetime. So many persons yeah. from the Old Testament times and even maybe New Testament times would have loved to have been where we are today. And so we honor mm-hmm. and thank God for giving us this assignment, and it is indeed a privilege.
Amen. Amen, indeed. Okay. So we said, anybody else?
Good night. Sorry I missed Tuesday's teaching. I had a previous engagement, but... Like Kenya, I call it a privilege to be a part of Wailing Women for more than one reason. So I commit myself to the Lord and became a Christian and commit myself to the Lord. I knew that God has called me to be among women in ministry and to pray and to man the gate and be a watchman. And we started a group similar to this in my island, which I live in, the Bahamas, in San Salvador. But it didn't last for more than one reason. But I never gave up on the mandate. I continued to pray and I continued to trust God. And I was like, Lord, okay, all these vision you showed me of what we are to do and out on the streets and ministering and praying and pulling down strongholds. And Lord, when is this going to happen? Where is this group of people? Even in traveling, one time I had someone prophesied to me about me being a part of this group of women. And when Wailing Women, when Sister Judy and those came to San Salvador to introduce Wailing Women, I was off the island to my church women conference. So I was not here, but when Pastor Ivy invited me in the group, it was like a green light came on to know this is the group of women now, and this is the time and the season, even though I don't have the books and stuff as yet, and I'm going through with the classes. I am so grateful, and I thank God, because it stir up in me again. It's like, I don't know, those of you in the Caribbean, but I know here in the Bahamas, in those days when we were growing up as children, and our grandparents had outside kitchen, and there was a fireplace, and when the coal has gone out, they'll tell you, child, get a piece of cardboard or get this hat and find that coal, tell it, come back, because I need to cook. And you'll sit there and you'll find the coal and blow on it and tell it, catch again into a flame of fire. And I feel that these classes, is that's what it's doing to me. It's funding and and blowing on that mission God has given me, that vision years and years ago. And it's catching it back of fire. So I ask for you sisters to pray for me. And I ask you to keep me covered in prayer. It's not always easy. There is, like Paul, a lot of suffering over the years, a lot of attack, a lot of. But I remain faithful to continue. Sometimes it's just me alone, but in the natural, but I knew in the spirit it was more than me. So I appreciate this class. I appreciate the fellowship. I appreciate the sisters and the sisters and friends I have now because of Veiling Women. And I determined to surrender to the call wholeheartedly, 100% with Veiling Women. So pray for me that my strength fails.
Amen. 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 You know, when you're talking about fanning the fire, up to this morning, I was going to roast a breadfruit and the wood was wet and I had to keep fanning the fire so that it would light to roast the breadfruit. Yeah, iron sharpens iron. And I believe God have, in this time, not only have he called us to be, you know, the gate watchers and these things, but he have also called us to be supporters to each other and to the work. And I'm really grateful that I also have the privilege of being a part of everyone's life and you being a part of mine. And God is just awesome the way he structured things, because, you know, being that support, even if you are not in the same country or in the same village, it is so amazing how he can unite us and connect us to be that strength to one another, you know, and you feel like you really have a family, you know, because our unsaved family, if they don't give their life to the Lord, really and truly, it will be like what Jesus said, my mother and brethren are they that do the will of the Father. We really pray for them and encourage them, but you know, they have to make the final decision of what they want. And if they don't, then you know who you're going to be with for eternity. It's going to be your blood family, which is the blood of Jesus. So that's why he said, my family, my mother and brethren, are they that do the will of my Father. So God have given you family that are just there for you, especially when they come before the throne, you know, just lifting up his people, each other in prayer. And also the way he structured things, that we can always be in a meeting that encourages, you know, like this morning when I listened to every morning a different one pray. Well, it's a different group, but it's really great. And when I listened to that sister pray, man, that brought so much strength to me, man. It's like I was able to just go there, like move the world. You know, that's the kind of support you get from each other, from the prayer of each other, from the word of encouragement, the word of exhortation, from even the material that we have, that the Lord have blessed us with. Everyone should try to get the operational handbook and the mandate and the manual. It is really a great support. So God bless you, my dear sisters. I really appreciate God for making me a part of your life. Hallelujah. You know, your sharing strengthens and encourages me also. So I bless you and I bless God for you. We have, you know, you can just go back on all the, I wasn't in the sessions, but I have the mandate. The sessions that was done, you could just keep rolling them back in your mind because they are so encouraging. For example, when I did the one with Kong and God as King, every now and then it just comes back that it brings that sense of worship, you know, just to know who he is, just to understand what he has been through, to be able to open the books. So every one of the lessons that you have had, you could just, you know, go over your notes, go over your, even if you don't have the book, go over your, in your meditation, roll them over in your mind and just, you know, allow it to become a part of your life. It's very encouraging and it's very strengthening. So the latter part here says, if anybody have anything to say, you can stop me, yeah? Because I'm just closing off the latter part of the study, right? So I came back to where you said raise a worldwide army of gatekeepers who can monitor and regulate the health of the nation. And we saw that in Isaiah 62 and verse 6 to 7. Raise the tabernacle of David, the altar of praise, to send billows of the smoke of incense to the Lamb's altar in heaven as we prepare the earth to receive her king. And we see Revelation 8, 3 to 5. As we continue to intercede for the nations, we must join the 24 elders and worship the Lord who lives forever and ever. And we saw that in Revelation 4, 11, when they said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. His kingdom cannot fail. Sorry. He rules over the heavens and the earth. The keys of death and hell have been given to Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is waiting right now till all his enemies be made his footstool. The end result of all intercession is to make all nations bow to his command as he takes his seat above the kings of the earth. And when we read Daniel chapter 7, I hope you have that on your note, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 27, you see how he is, how his kingdom reign, and how his all other kingdom had to bow to his kingdom. And so these, again, as the study in why we crown him is another reason why we crown him, because his kingdom never fails. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We cast down the thrones of iniquity which contend against the knowledge of our God in the nations. When we do this, he will come and sit as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you remember when we were doing crowning him as king, how in Psalms 2, how we said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come in. But you have these notes, so you can go over them in Psalms 2, verse 6 to 12, and Daniel 7, verse 9 to 10. So this whole chapter in Daniel is very interesting of showing the exaltation of our Lord, right? We groom a new generation of young men and women who know the truth, walk in the light of God's love, and obey him. We teach them and we teach our daughters to wail, as Jeremiah 9:20 tells us. And, you know, even by our lifestyle, they can be drawn to the call of God, warning men everywhere on this planet to escape the judgment that is about to come on the earth. And we remind ourselves of how the apostle said, knowing the terror of the Lord, he begged men to repent. So we also everywhere beg men to repent. We warn them of the judgment to come. Raise a company of women who are meek and gentle in spirit, yet as bold as lions. Remember, we emphasized that on Tuesday in spiritual warfare. Train them to become formidable instruments of offense against the kingdom of darkness. So we say, even though we are meek and quiet in spirit, yet we are warlike against the works of the enemy. So this also is like we had something we used to say, we have an ogi, meaning in the Greek or in the Hebrew, it's a righteous anger. So you get so angry against the works of the enemy that you do warfare. And sometimes you don't sit to fight. You stand up and walk the place, declaring, pulling down the works of the enemy and declaring the greatness of God and you know, using the prayer points and the word that, you know, God have given unto us. You know, it's so good to know the word, to exalt God for who he is and to recall, to remembrance who he have made us. Like one of the sisters said, we are the apple of his eyes. It is so honorable to be co-worker with him. And he really loves us indeed to give us that place where we can work with him on the earth, where we can stand in the gap and call upon him and draw from him, right? And also, so we be warlike against the works of darkness. And we also we are reminded in Jeremiah 51, verse 20 to 23, that we are battle axes, weapons of war. Yeah, so there are times when we're going to weep and cry and mourn, and there are times when we're going to stand up with some serious declaration against the enemy, using the word as a weapon against him, you know, especially in the Psalms when David, you know, declared the word. So we can also, you know, declare what God say. God declare who we are, and he have given unto us. He have given unto us the belt of truth, which is the word. And he gave us the sword of the spirit that is sharper than two-edged sword, which is the word. So we speak the word, you know. You remember in Romans chapter 10, and verse 8, I think it says, the word is near us, even in our hearts and in our mouth. So we open our mouth and declare the word as a weapon against the enemy. You know, sometimes the enemy, he attacks with such cunning methods to bring us, to damn our spirits, to bring us, making us feel kind of weak and helpless. You know that feeling? In that moment, remember you are some weapon. We remember the weapons that is given to us, and we begin to pull them out, which is the sword of the spirit, and smash them against him. You know, so we are given those weapons, and so we must use them, and we must teach others or train them to be his battle axes and weapons of war. The word said, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and women, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. That's Jeremiah 51:20. You know, when we understand our rights and what we have given by the Lord, and we use them, the enemy, he doesn't like people who knows their rights. If you can be ignorant concerning who you are in Christ and always be like a beggar that doesn't know what belongs to you and have this kind of, I call it false humility, where people stay in a state where they feel, you know, poor me, sinner. You know, I feel the enemy loves that because he feel, oh, you. I'm not saying you not have to be in a repented attitude if you do wrong and you do something that you know does not please your father. But also, you have to remember that he doesn't want you to stay there. You remember when he tell people that he forgave, he said, I have forgiven you, but go and sin no more. In other words, get yourself, live according to who you are become in Christ, and fight that beast that is coming up against you, coming up against your children, coming up against your marriage, coming up against your nation, your community. Gird yourself, you know, warlike, and face that devil, because he wants to bring people in a state of always being intimidated by him, you know, like he feel he rules. But the Lord said he have bruised him. He have paralyzed him in Colossians chapter 2 or chapter 3 from verse 14 going down there. He said he stripped him. He made an open show of him. He paralyzed him. He made a war profession of him. You know, when a city or a nation go out to fight, the soldiers go out to fight, and then they win, and so they make a profession of the victory that they have over the enemy. Well, this is what Jesus did, right? I'm just going to read it in Colossians so that it will be...
Excuse me, Sister Joan. Excuse me, please. I will excuse because I have to meet the other willing women in the church.
Okay, we just have a few minutes more, but it's okay. And it was nice having you, and I just glad you be strong.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah. I'm just going to close with this scripture in Colossians, right? According to the apostle, though you know it, yet will I remind you of it. Right, it's chapter 2 from verse 14. He said, having cancelled the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. So this is what the Lord have done with principalities and powers. So he's calling us to face them like who he have made us. Like he have said, we are battle axes. And he said in Jeremiah 1:10, to pull down, to uproot. And so we have, by the grace of God, with all humility of heart, still position ourselves as who he have made us. He have made us overcomers. He have made us more than conquerors. And he said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because he know what he have made the enemy of. He said, for this reason, he was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. So I'm saying all this to tell us and to encourage us that we are able to be warlike, to have that position, you know, even if we are meek in spirit, but yet we as bold as lions in spiritual warfare. So we do not only accept this position by the Lord, but we train others to be warlike so that they can face the enemy like David faced Goliath, knowing his God was bigger than Goliath, even though he was how many feet above his head. So even though the enemy come with all his strategies and methods and plans, we know in whom we believe. The greater one lives in us. And so we take the authority that God has given unto us to stand against his force as watchmen. The Lord needs war horses. That's the last paragraph I'm reading. The Lord needs war horses, obedient colts, ready and willing for Jesus Christ our Lord to ride majestically back into the earth when he returns to rule the nations in righteousness. He said in Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I close to turn to our host. Thank you, ladies. Sister Mona, Sister Joyce, which one?
Sister Joyce.
Praise God.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, yes, sorry about that. I didn't realize I was in
the... Before we close, this is Nicole. Hi, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. I posted the survey in the chat. I'm not sure if you guys saw it. So we're just confirming.
Yes, I saw it.
Okay, so because once the call ends, the link is actually going to be gone. So you can actually copy out the link from the chat. And you can access it whenever you guys feel free to do the survey after September 10th. And you can always send me any comments or ways to improve the training. And I put my email address in the chat as well. So I just wanted to share that before we departed. And you can notify the other members in your chapters and in your countries as well.
Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome, Pastor John.
Sister Mona, I close off my prayer. Okay.
Let's go ahead.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, dear Father, for the sessions we have had over the past few months, dear Lord. We thank you for each participant. We thank you for what you have employed in our hearts, dear Father. Help us to go out and to carry out your mandate, dear Father, to do your will. Help us also to embrace it and to teach other women, dear Father. We pray, dear God, as we close up this session, that you go with each participant, those who are here tonight, those who are not here, all those who took part in our class or training, dear God, we ask that you empower them, dear Father, empower us. Lord, as we go, we pray your blessing upon each one. We pray your love, your mercy, and your guidance be with every facilitator. We thank you, dear God, for your provision of our lives, of our country, of our nation, over the world. And we thank you again. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Tonya, please check the chat for a message. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Good night.
God bless. Have a great night.
Good night and blessings.
Blessings, blessings.
Praise God.
Good night.
Somebody want to dance for us?
I'm saying good night. Bye-bye.
No one dust off.
I mean.
Shut up.